I'd also like to say good morning and thank you very much for inviting me here. It's always a very special time to be able to come back and have the pulpit at Bethany Chapel, the chapel that I grew up in. For those of you who don't know me, hopefully by the end of the sermon today, you'll be thinking that it was also special that I was here today and that I didn't need another week to prepare my sermon also. I don't think I'm that bad. I know my brother and my dad have heard me speak before, but when they heard I was going to be here today, they decided they'd plan a fishing trip. So I don't know what that has to say with anything, but hopefully God will speak through His Word as He uses me this morning. I'd like to start out with sharing something with you that I read in my own quiet time a couple of months ago that really struck me. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. It's taken just from a little book called Bible Promises, Help and Hope for Your Finances. And it's just a compilation of various scripture passages about aspects relating to our finances. Better one handful with tranquility than two handfuls with toil and chasing after the wind. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner except to feast his eyes on them? Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. Though a man lives 1,000 years twice over but doesn't find contentment, well, what's the use? When I read through that, it really struck me, thinking in my own life, what am I striving for? And the concept that it was bringing out was contentment. Do we have contentment? Are you contented? Are you looking for contentment? Reading this really opened my eyes to this whole concept and what people are looking for in their lives. And it was funny, this is what people are looking for. Here's three news weeks that came out since April 14th of this year. The cover story on the April 14th issue, You're So Vain, looking at basically all the primping that men are going through now and all the money they are spending on their physical appearance. We're no longer content with our physical appearance. Several weeks ago, the cover story, Greed on Wall Street. Greed on Wall Street. This one was particularly affecting to me in that it profiles a number of young men who have basically given their all to make the big bucks on Wall Street. Many of these were just either my age or just a few years younger, older than I am. I'd consider them my peers. And there was one person in there who is in charge of Merrill Lynch's mergers and acquisitions section. He's making well over $1 million a year, but he said he was not content. And in the current issue of Newsweek, The Marriage Crunch, talking about single women who are postponing marriages for their careers and showing that they're probably going to have to make a decision between their career and being married. As this graph shows, the farther out you go, the less chance you have of getting married. And this is going to the, are you content with your marital status? So we see right here on these publications, the world is looking to find contentment. We as Christians are told to be content as well. In 1 Timothy, Paul writes, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And then in Philippians, Paul wrote, I have learned to be content. We as Christians should have this contentment that the world is looking for. Today I'd like to talk about contentment. What is it? How can we get it? Because we as Christians should be content. First, because Christ wants that for us. He has promised us the abundant life. And being contented is part of that abundant life. But secondly, this is something the world is looking for. And what draws people to the church? But then when they see Christians living the abundant life. So if our witness to our unsaved friends, neighbors, and colleagues is to be effective, they're going to have to see a contentment in our own life. What is contentment? You had to write down a definition of contentment. What would you say? I put down my definition as follows. Contentment is the satisfaction one has with one's current status. The satisfaction one has with one's current status. For example, are you contented with your job? I would say, what is your current job status? I'm an accountant. Am I satisfied with my current job? I am. I enjoy it. It has potential for the future, and it gives me an acceptable standard of living. It gives me an opportunity to exercise gifts and abilities God has given to me. So I'm satisfied with my current job status, and so I am content with my job. The same can be said of financial status, marital status, just about any aspect of your life. Kind of stop for a second, say, where am I right now? And am I satisfied with where I'm at? If you are, most likely you're content. How then do we achieve this satisfaction? I guess I'd like to title this sermon, The Secret to Satisfaction. The Secret to Satisfaction. Before we can look at contentment in any specific area, such as job, finances, marital status, whatever, I think there's a bigger question that one has to ask themselves. A bigger, more foundational section of contentment. I put that question, are you content with yourself? Are you content with yourself? Probably thinking, what do you mean by that, Bruce? Am I content with myself? I guess that goes along, how do you answer these questions about yourself? Where do I fit into this whole thing? Or if you're more on the intellectual side, you might say, what is my role in the cosmos? Or, what am I doing here? Until you have a contentment about your own role, a contentment about yourself, this is a foundational contentment that really contentment in finances or job cannot be built on anything. They would collapse. You have to have a contentment with yourself. I call this, what is your contentment with regard to your eternal status? Are you content with regard to your eternal status? If you've already accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can say, yes, I am content with my eternal status. I know that God created me and that He loves me and gave His Son to make me righteous, so that I will spend eternity with God in heaven. If you can say that, then you are content with your eternal status. If you cannot say that, then I'd like you to think for the next few minutes while I'm speaking about that question, because everything else I'm going to say is predicated on the fact that you are already reaching a level of contentment with your eternal status. For those of you who don't have that contentment, ask yourself these questions. Am I morally good or morally bad? If you conclude that you are morally bad, then ask yourself, how do I know I'm morally bad? Whose standard am I judging myself? And then, how do I make myself right in that person's eyes? This is what Jesus Christ came into the world for, to make us morally right. How? By dying on the cross for our sins. It says in Romans 10 and verse 9 that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that is to acknowledge that Jesus was not only a physical man, but Almighty God, and then believe that Jesus died and rose again and is now alive in heaven, thou shalt be saved. You too will then have contentment with regard to your eternal status. Hopefully, though, all of us already are contented with our eternal status. How then do we find contentment in other aspects of our life? I don't have time today to go into all aspects, job status, financial status, marital status. So I would like to just look at financial status. Contentment with our financial status, and see if there are any principles that we can derive from this that can then be applied to all the other areas of our life and bring us to a place where we are content in all we have. I've chosen financial status for several reasons. First, it is the area that the Bible talks about contentment the most. Second, it's one that affects all aspects of our life. I've been told that many divorces or a discontentment in one's marital status really stem from financial discontentment. And finally, because of my own profession and practice, I am most comfortable talking about financial areas. So ask yourself this question. Are you content with your current financial status? Are you content with your current financial status? If you said no, then ask yourself the following question. Is it because I have too little money, or do I have too much? I know for the Duncan household, if I ask myself that right now, I'd almost have to say, I think I'm not quite content because I have too little. It just happened to be that the auto insurance came due this month. My sister-in-law had a baby, so we had a baby shower for her. I had to get a few new suits. Just a lot of expenses came up, and so looking at the checkbook right now, and it's down to about $70. So I'm a little bit at some discontent there. But really, that's just a cash flow problem in my part. That will be solved, hopefully, in the future. But really, do you have too little? How much is too little? $10,000 a year? $25,000 a year? How about over $100,000 a year? You could be in any one of those income levels and probably be saying, you know, I don't have enough money. I'm discontented with my financial status because I don't have enough. The Bible has something to say about what level we should have in finances and be content with it. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 8, that if we have food and clothing, with that we should be content. If we had food and clothing, with that we should be content. So if you've been discontented with your financial status, but you already have at least your food and clothing, that I maintain from a biblical perspective, you're not discontented because you have too little, but because you have too much. St. Bruce, that doesn't make sense. How can I be discontented if I have too much? It's not that you have, in absolute terms, too much, but you might have more than you can handle. Think of it as a juggler who can do fine with 3 balls in the air. He's okay with 4, but you give him about 6 and everything collapses. Same thing can happen with our finances. You might have too much that leads to discontentment. So, if you are discontented with your financial status, how can we become contented? And that's what God wants us to do. If you are not content because you have too little, what needs to be done? You're probably discontented because you have too little, because you're lacking not in items, but in knowing God. If one truly knows God, then they will never be discontent with how little they have. To truly know God is to know that He has promised that He will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. God has said, I will supply all your needs. So if right now you don't have food and clothing, you don't have to be discontented about that, because you can claim as a promise that God is going to supply you with those needs. So coming to an area of contentment when you have too little is knowing God. I think it also has to do with knowing God's people. God has promised if you have too little, He's going to make sure your needs are met. He can do that in a number of ways. You think back in the Old Testament with the children of Israel, He sent manna from heaven. They literally got up in the morning, walked outside, and picked up their food. God provided it. God can still do that today. But He's decided to act in a different way. He's decided that He is going to meet needs through His church, through God's people. So if you have needs that are not being met, it's probably because you don't know God's people. God's people is the way God will work at meeting needs. I know I can say, without any doubt whatsoever, having grown up in this assembly, that if anyone here does not have food, does not have clothes, they can go talk to Mr. Pollard, Ed Marshall, Lyndon Hess, and I can guarantee you those needs will be met. Because Bethany Chapel is where God's people come together. And one function that God's people fulfill is meeting the needs of their brothers and sisters who have wants. So, if you have too little, you can be contented. How? By knowing God and knowing God's people. How about the other side of the coin? Having too much. Or as I said, not that you have too much, but you're not handling correctly that which you have, which can also lead to discontent. The key to having contentment with this is to start using it the way God would. Or as I would like to put it, knowing God's priorities. If we know God's priorities for our finances and use them accordingly, then you'll be contented. If we should be acting in accordance with God's priorities with our financial status, what are God's priorities? Stepping back, think of it, you're somewhere on the financial continuum. Draw a line, imaginary line, with 0 at one end and 500 million at the other end. and you're going to be somewhere on that line. There are three aspects into going in whether or not you're content with your financial status. First is just what is your absolute level. That's what we were talking about. How much do you absolutely have? You can quantify that and put a number on it. The second aspect of it has to do, what is your attitude with regard to the position you're on that continuum? Let's say you have $30,000, but your attitude is you wish you had $300,000. That could lead to some discontentment. The final piece has to do with your actions. You're somewhere on this line in an absolute sense. Your attitude is, I'm going to be content at $30,000. But the final piece is your action with regard to how you deal with that $30,000 you have. You might make mistakes and end up spending $40,000, only having $30,000, and that can lead to discontentment. So once you've gotten past the absolute sense, then you're dealing with your attitudes and your actions. To find out what these should be, you're going to have to ask, what are God's priorities with regard to my attitudes and to my actions? With regard to our attitudes, God has made that very clear. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. There is one God, and him only shalt thou serve. So your attitudes, is God number one in your life? He also has said, the love of money is the root of all evil. In Hebrews chapter 13, he says, keep yourselves free from the love of money. And it goes on, and then you will achieve contentment. So with regard to your attitude, do you love God? Do you love money? If you are loving money, then that's not God's priority. You're going to have to change. Finally, with your actions, how are you spending your money? What is God's priority with regard to how we should use our finances? If God gave you $30,000, said, this is money I'm giving you, I want you to spend it for me, how would you spend it? Probably think, well, what would God want me to do with this money? It's that same mind frame that we should be bringing to our own finances. God has given me $30,000. How does he want me to spend it? Well, first, he wants to meet my needs. I already said, but my God shall supply all your needs. Okay, he's given me $30,000 to meet my needs. So one, he wants you to meet your own needs. He wants you to meet the needs of your family. Paul says those who are not taking care of their family are worse than an unbeliever. So we know another priority God has is to meet the needs of our family. And finally, to meet the needs of others in God's work. Both their physical needs, food and clothing, and then moving forward, God's priorities. Spreading salvation to all and the edification and the building up of the church. Using money that God has given you as if it were his is called stewardship. We've given stewardship a very dirty name, unfortunately. And I would like to change that. I firmly believe that stewardship is the secret and the key to living the abundant Christian life. For without stewardship, you cannot achieve peace, joy, or what we're talking about today, contentment. If you are using all of your assets as a steward that God has given them to you, then you will have peace, joy, and contentment. For example, God has given us time, talents, and treasures. If you use your time as if it belonged to God, as a steward, what God wants you to do with your time, you will have peace. Because God has given you enough time to accomplish what he wants you to do. You're not going to be running around saying, I wish I had more time. You'll have peace. If your talents, if you take the abilities and gifts that God has given you and use them for God's priorities, winning souls, encouraging fellow believers, showing God's love to others, you will experience joy, true joy. And finally, with our treasures, our financial aspects, if we use these according to God's priorities, then we will achieve contentment. So if you take anything with you when you leave today, please take this idea. Stewardship does not mean having to cough up some cash from your billfold. Stewardship is the key to the abundant Christian life. Being a steward of what God has given to us with time, talents, and treasures will lead to peace, joy, and contentment. Specifically in our financial status, we're talking about using His priorities with regard to our absolute area on the financial spectrum, our attitudes, and our actions. Looking then at what brings about contentment on the financial status that we have, it's knowing God, knowing His priorities, knowing His person, and knowing His people. This brings about contentment in the financial aspect. Is this a principle that would also carry over into other areas bringing about contentment? I maintain that it is. In all aspects of our life, if we truly know God, know His purposes, His priorities, we will achieve contentment in all areas. The question then becomes, how do I know what God's priorities are? How do I know God? My hypothesis is, whatever works in one area or status will work in all others. I know one that I'm absolutely convinced of, and that's my eternal status. I know that I have complete peace and contentment, that I'm going to be in heaven. That's because I know God. How did I become to know God for my salvation? All of you know the verse, Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. I maintain as a hypothesis that it's God's grace that will allow us to become to know Him and His ways in all aspects of our life. In looking up contentment in several commentaries, they mention that its root is sufficient or sufficiency. And they give you a cross-reference to 2 Corinthians 9:8. That's where it says, but my God shall supply all your need. No, excuse me. That's where my grace is sufficient for thee. So we see there is a parallel between sufficiency and contentment. And the way we achieve sufficiency is that God, through His grace, gives that to us. How then do we utilize God's grace in our own life? Specifically in the area of financial contentment. I think the same way you got to know God for your salvation. You have to come for Him in faith and just ask. Prayer. Ask God for it. Have you ever prayed this prayer? Father, give me contentment in my financial aspects. Give me contentment with my financial status. Probably not, because it just doesn't sound right. You don't pray, give me contentment with my financial status. One reason for that is, contentment is a result. It's not a cause. So if you're going to be praying, asking God to give you this contentment, you're really going to have to be praying to ask God to give you a change in the underlying cause of that. Going back to our example. First, if you have too little on my continuum, absolute, your needs are not being met, there you ask God for your needs. He wants you to do that. The Lord's Prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. Prayer for needs, He'll meet them. If you have too much, you're now asking God to know His priorities with regard to your attitude and your actions. Have you ever prayed, God, remove from me my love of money? I admit I've never done that. But there are many times in my life when I sure do love money. To get to know God is to call upon His grace through prayer. Specifically with regard to our financial status, perhaps what we need to do is say, God, take away from me the cause of my discontent. Take away my love of money, my selfishness, and my greed. When God answers that prayer, then you'll be content. It's funny, looking at Paul, he said, I have learned to be content. And there is one special place that I remember in his letters where he said, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. And I didn't like that. So obviously he wasn't real content with it. Paul prayed to have that removed. God's answer, I'm not going to take that thorn away. Why? Because my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul learned to be content with that, with God's grace in his life. The same is true for you and for me. God's grace is more than enough. It's more than sufficient to give us all our needs, to change our attitudes, to change our actions, and make us content with the status that God has given to us. In summary, Christian contentment is the satisfaction we have with our current status. We can be content with our current status because we know God, we know His priorities. Finally, God has given us His grace so we can take His priorities, His principles, and put those into practice in our own life. Like Paul, this may require sacrifice, it may require pain, but in the end, we like Paul can say, I have learned to be content. As I said at the beginning, contentment is a key to our effective Christian task as well. We all like to quote the verse in Philippians chapter 4, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's verse 13. If you go back just two verses to verse 11, that's where Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content. To do all things for Christ, we are first going to have to let Him change our lives, our actions, and our attitudes so that we can be content with the position that He has put us. This verse from Psalm chapter 17. But as for me, my contentment is not in wealth, but in knowing God, and knowing all is well between us. And when I awake in heaven, I will be fully satisfied, for I will see God face to face. God's grace is sufficient to change our lives and make us content so then we can serve Him as Paul did. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank You so very much that You have revealed Yourself to us, that through Your grace You have saved us, and that through Your grace You continue to work in our lives, changing us, molding us, making us fit for Your service, And through this grace, you can give us contentment, Father, a contentment that is a true contentment that only comes from you, the contentment that this world is looking for. Father, through this week, may we strive to root out those causes of discontentment in our life, drawing upon your grace, your strength, and then taking the contentment that you have given to us and sharing that with those that you have put in our world. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.